If you've ever run a marathon, you'll know by the end of the 26.1 miles, your chest is tight, your legs are numb, and your feet are on fire. And keep in mind, when the gun goes, everyone will start, but unfortunately, not everyone will finish. Well, we can't say that when it comes to Jesus, because he finished the race. He completed the course. Remember, as he dies, he cries seven times. Seven cries, seven sayings, seven words from the cross. His cross words. Word number six is found in John 19, verse 30. He cried with a loud voice and said, "It is finished." Three words in English, just one word in Greek. Tetelestai, finished. The greatest word ever spoken. First of all, a word, a cry of assurance. For 6 hours he's been on the cross, rejected by his enemies, forsaken by his friends, and judged by his Father. Never forget, he's there as the sinner's substitute, taking our place, bearing our sin, paying our debt, removing our curse, suffering our hell, and enduring our grief, as well as carrying our sorrows. Wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And yet despite the pain and the suffering and the misery and the agony, he's filled with confidence, filled with certainty and assurance. Just think, at the age of 33, an age when most people are just starting out, Jesus cries, "It's finished." Please note, he doesn't say, "I'm finished." No, he says, "It is finished." The work, the plan of redemption is finished. Picture, if you can, a Greek artist in his studio. Hat on his head, paint on his clothes, palette on his arm, and a brush in his hand. He's after perfection. He's worked on this masterpiece for months. The shades, the shadows, the colours, the characters, the moods, the mixes, the various details. Everything must be right. Everything must be perfect. Eventually, he stands back. Is there any slight defect? Any improvement he can make? Does he need a little touch here or a little touch there? No. There's nothing more to be done. And so he sits down and says, "Tetelestai, finished, flawless, perfect, complete." And that's the word Jesus uses. Tetelestai, finished. His work is fully and completely and entirely and flawlessly and perfectly finished. Everything necessary for salvation has been done. A work of utter assurance. Secondly, it's a word of achievement. Jesus shouts, not in defeat, but in victory. Finished. And as he shouts, here's what happens. The foundations of hell begin to shake. The prison walls of death come crashing down. The barriers that separate man from God start to crumble. Because of his triumphant cry, because of his shout of victory, because of his words of achievement, millions are set free from the bondage of sin. Millions are brought from darkness to light, from spiritual death to spiritual life, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. There's victory over hell and victory over Satan. And there's victory over sin too. Those riddled with guilt can come to the cross and find pardon. Those in the grip of fear can come to the cross and find peace. Those who are lost, those who have failed, can come to the cross and they'll be given a brand new start. Victory. Victory over hell. Victory over Satan. And victory over sin. And thankfully, there is also victory over death. Why? Because the work is done and the victory is won. It is finished. a word of assurance, a word of achievement, and thirdly, a word of access. When Jesus made this cry, something happened, according to Luke's Gospel and also according to Mark's Gospel. The veil in the temple was torn in two, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. That veil, that curtain, was 60 feet long and 30 feet high and as thick as a man's hand, and it took 300 priests to lift it. And what's more, that curtain, that veil was symbolic of separation. It separated the priests, the most holy people in Israel, from God. Can you believe that? God was on one side, and they were on the other side, and in between was this thick curtain. And now Jesus shouts, and the priests watch, as the curtain begins to tear, as the veil is rent, and a way of access is opened right into the holiest of all. And for every believing sinner, there is access. We can know God for ourselves. We can fellowship with Him. We can enjoy forgiveness from every single sin. You see, for centuries, God kept Himself at arm's length. Access was restricted. There was a massive sign, no trespassing. Trespassers will be prosecuted. But now we can draw near to God. We can come close to God. We can approach God. How? Do we need some kind of special formula? Do we need to go through a certain routine? Do we need to be in a religious building? No. We can draw near to God. We can approach God. We can come to God on account of the fact that Jesus has opened up the way for us. How wonderful. Please don't forget the Old Testament high priest was almost paralyzed with fear at the very thought of going to meet God. God was so holy and he was so sinful. And whenever he reappeared, everyone breathed a mega sigh of relief. He survived. He's out for another year. But now, because of Jesus, God welcomes us, not reluctantly, but gladly, with open arms. Philip Bliss was a hymn writer. He was also a pastor. He preached one day and pleaded with his congregation, but his congregation was as hard as nails. He went home and he prayed, "Oh God, what can I do?" The following Sunday, he didn't preach. Instead, he taught them a song he had written, especially for their hard hearts. Here's what he sung. "Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Guilty, vile and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement can it be. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a saviour." His hymn melted the hard hearts of his congregation, and many that morning found salvation. It is finished. A word of assurance, a word of achievement, and a word of access. There's a call here to leave pointless religion behind, to stop hiding behind the thin cloth of self-righteousness and run as fast as we can to Jesus and get a real covering, his thick robe of perfect righteousness. Run to the only one who can deal with our sin, the only one who can bring us to God, the only one who can give us hope, the only one who can take us to heaven. There's a call. There's a caution. You don't need to keep trying. You don't need to keep trying to get yourself into God's good books. It's not about us. It's about Him. And there's a challenge. Peter tells us Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. And we are to live the way He died. How did He die? He died finishing the work that God gave him to do. And that's how we are to live. We're to keep right on until the end of the road. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And I won the crown. And that's the challenge. For us not to stop halfway through, not to give up, but to finish the work that God has given us to do. It is finished.